Well, good evening, everyone, again. We are indeed blessed to be able to meet in this way, as there are many places in the world where that's not a possibility, or they're being persecuted for it. I wonder if you'd turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a portion of scripture we'll be looking at tonight. Beginning reading at verses 1 through 10. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our home, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for as for we that are in this tabernacle or this tent do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought or prepared us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us unto or given us the earnest of the Spirit, or the Spirit as a guarantee. Therefore we are always confident, or of good courage, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we open your word tonight, we pray that we would have a sense of longing to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, this is certainly through the Holy Spirit within us that we have this desire. And so, Father, I pray that as your word is revealed tonight, that you would be honored, glorified, and lifted up. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. If I was to title this message, I would put it this way: I feel like traveling on. Back in the 1968, we actually worked at Elam. That's where I actually met Kathy. And I sang with this group. We called ourselves the Elam Gospel Echoes. And in 1970, we actually, at the Citadel, in the Salvation Army Citadel in Oshawa, we recorded one of those old records, you know, the vinyls. Young people don't know what that's about. I'm going to be quoting a few of the songs that relate to the message tonight, which I think will give us an idea about feeling like traveling on, but we'll be looking at this portion in 2 Corinthians. One of the songs we recorded was this one: Since childhood, I've heard of a heaven. I wondered if it could be true, that there were bright mansions eternal somewhere beyond the blue. I pondered, could people really go there? Till one day sweet Jesus came in, and I caught a vision of glory, my soul with all heaven did blend. And the chorus goes, heaven, happy home above, heaven, land of peace and love, and oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. Heaven eternal, heaven supernal, oh, I'm so glad that it's real. According to 1 Peter chapter 2, we who are born again, Paul calls us pilgrims and strangers in this world. And as we look at the verse of scripture, verses 11 and 12 of 1 Peter 2, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. When you and I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we became citizens of a place called heaven. Citizens of a place called heaven. And that's Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And since that is true, there is a pull from another land within the heart of the child of God. Do you see that? Do you have that sense of that pull, longing for heaven? And I'll tell you, in the day and age we live, I think more and more we begin to realize this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Each passing day brings a greater desire within us to leave this world and go to heaven and to be forever with the Lord. More so as we get older, I think. And this same desire was also within the heart of Paul when he wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Paul, in writing from the heart of one who is longing for this heavenly home. It reminds me of a song. "My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling home. Its glittering towers the sun outshine, I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine, I feel like traveling on." If we were honest with ourselves, and as we observe the days in which we live, we long for that heavenly home. Now let's look into some of these precious promises or verses and finding the help for our hearts in this journey of life. Paul shares some special words in these verses that we need to hear today. The first one I would suggest to you is Paul mentions some words about hardship. In fact, he pulls no punches when he talks about this life and describes the difficulties between believers face while living in this foreign, sin-cursed world. Verse 1 of our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see that this life is temporary. It reads, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And so the two words that Paul describes here is the temporary nature of this life. Tabernacle, or tent, is a temporary dwelling. And the other is dissolved, to demolish, to destroy, or to loosen. It was used to refer really to travelers reaching the end of their journey and loosening the straps which held the burdens to the back of their animals. I remember dealing with the horses at Hope Valley Day Camp, and we would harness them up and they would pull the wagon, the sleigh, the rake or the whatever we were using out in the fields. At the end of the time we were finished, we would take all the harnesses off and their burdens would no longer be in play. This life is seen as a temporary time. These mortal bodies will fall away, and the bonds that keep us attached to this world will fall away, and we will leave here. And this brings to mind actually two thoughts. The one is of blessing, and the other is of burden. The blessing, this life and its problems will not last forever. With all its trials and burdens, will someday end for the child of God. And that is the blessing. The burden is because this life is temporary. We are all touched by death. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We've all lost loved ones over time. And we must prepare to leave this world ourselves. This is one truth that makes this temporary life a difficult time. And I was sharing just a moment ago how my sister-in-law's father, after 100, we went to his birthday party, and now he's with the Lord. My aunt celebrated her 90th birthday party when the family got together, and now she's with the Lord. We're losing loved ones. We are losing them. Not only is this life temporary, but this life is trying. In verse 2 to 4 of our portion of Scripture, let me read it. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked or spiritually dead, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. What words does Paul use here? Life, that this life is trying. He groaned in verse 2, meaning to sigh heavily from within, or burdened. In verse 4, to be pressed down on the inside, or the mortality that we have. And these words refer to that which is mortal or liable to death. And Paul uses these words to remind us that this life is filled with tragedy, trials, and trauma, something we are all very aware of. Still, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that as long as we are in this world, we will face these trials and troubles. And that's Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And even John chapter 16, verse 33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And what about Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 22 to 23? Two verses. For what hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrow, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. However, as believers, we can thank God that this life is only a temporary training camp before heaven. Someone referred to it as training time for reigning time. And I think that's an appropriate way to put it. Life in this is also a testing time, a testing time. And we can find this also in verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are told to navigate this world walking by faith. God allows us to pass through all the events of life, all the trials, the tragedies, the traumas, to train and prepare us for glory. He uses the pressures of this life to make and fit us for heaven and finally into His perfect image. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And what about Romans 8, verse 18? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. After all, this is His goal for us. We can look at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The story is told of a preacher who had lost his family in a tragic fire while walking through town. And he was walking through town. His mind was troubled by questions related to faith. In fact, because of his tragedy, he was seriously thinking about quitting on the Lord. He wondered how a God whom he had thought was so good could allow something so terrible to happen to him and his family. As he walked, he passed a construction site where there was a huge cathedral being built. As he watched the men work, he noticed one man carving a small triangle piece of granite with a chisel and hammer. The preacher called out to the stonemason and asked him what he was making. The workman stopped, pointed to a place near the top of the cathedral. He said, "Do you see that tiny open triangle near the top of the roof?" The preacher answered, "Yeah." "Well," said the workman, "I am carving this out down here so that it will fit in up there." Then the preacher understood what God was doing. The Lord was merely carving him up, out down here so that he would fit in up there. Beloved, our trials are not here to destroy us, but to shape us for his glory. Then there's a second thing. Not only is there hardship, but Paul speaks of hope. Verse 4. We have what? A comforting hope. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." This life with all its ups and downs won't last forever. We can look forward to the future where we will be clothed upon with mortality that was swallowed up of life. Paul is telling us that this earthly life, as it draws to a close, we lay down this temporary body and we have a new body and a new life awaiting us in heaven with the Lord. Revelation 21:4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 49, says this: "And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither death nor doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The story is told of a little boy. When we think about dissolving, he was watching his mother one night and put on some white goo all over her face before she'd go to bed, and she would let it sit there for a few minutes and then wipe it off. That little boy watched his mother do that for several nights, and finally his curiosity got the better of him, and he asked his mother, who was sitting there, is about to take the cream off. He said, Mommy, why do you put that wig goo on your face? Well, she said, as she began to take the cream off, to make me beautiful. He replied, well, it isn't working, is it? I don't think I've ever told my mom that. The fact is, these bodies are wearing out, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3 and 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Someone has said, you know you're getting old when it takes you longer to rest up than it did to get tired. You sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. When your knees buckle but your belt won't. When you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. When everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. We are just wearing, as we get older. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3:20, all go to one place, all are from the dust and return to the dust. And you heard about the little boy that got concerned when he looked under his bed and he said, Mommy, Mommy, I think there's either someone going or coming, because there was a lot of dust under his bed. But the fact is that we do have a God who cares. But you know, we have a confident hope. Verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And verse 6 says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And verse 8 says in our portion, we are confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We have a confident hope. I guess the question is, do you have this confident hope within your heart? And as we look at the words that Paul uses, he says, we know, we have, we are always confident, we are confident. For Paul, it wasn't a maybe-so thing. He was talking about a no-so thing. When we take our saved ones, those who have trusted Christ, when we go to the cemetery, we do not bury them, but only their body. They have already gone on to be with the Lord. And when it comes our time to go, Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It is a confident hope. But we also have a cleansing hope. Verse 9 of our portion says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. The hope we have within us should cause us to live right and to work actively for the glory of God and his kingdom. And those who know him want to please him. The truth is that if you're really believing he is coming for you one day, either by death or by rapture, you will want to live a life pleasing to God. 1 John 3:3 says, and every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. So not only was there hardship, there's hope, but some words about home. Paul had something to say about the home to which we are headed. And thank God there is a place prepared to receive us when this earthly life is over. Our heavenly home is a perfect place in verse 1. Again, of our portion, for we know that if our earthly house in this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's a building of God. This tells us something about the nature of that place, doesn't it? If the Lord makes it, then it stands to reason it is perfect. After all, God does not make junk. He made you, he made me. God doesn't make junk. Oh, we disappoint sometimes, but God looks at us through Christ. We are clothed in his righteousness. The world is tainted and stained by sin. And that's Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. But none of these things that defile this world can enter into heaven. Of course, that's Revelation 21 in verse 8 and verse 27. Where there is nothing that defiles will enter it. Heaven is a place where sin cannot enter. There'll be no death, no tears, no burdens, no trials, no devil, no evil, no madness, no sadness, no sorrow, no grief. Nothing that defiles, discourages, defeats will ever darken that glorious land. It will be a place of perfect rest, peace, joy, and glory. It is a perfect place, being prepared for redeemed people. I'm going. How about you? And that reminds me of the song. Come go with me to that land over yonder. He's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going, brother. How about you? Now, maybe today or maybe tomorrow he'll return in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, getting my things together. Who knows? He may come tonight. I know. There's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart. And I'm going to shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. We read the portion, John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled, and in my Father's house are many mansions, and the Lord is preparing. How long has it been since he left, and how long has he been preparing? And I'm glad that not only is our home a perfect place, it is a permanent place. In verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house in this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Job knew that this earthly life is temporary and fleeting. He said in verse 6 of chapter 7, my days are swifter than a weevil's shuttle and are spent without hope. Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16 says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Are you looking forward to going? The place we are headed is permanent, eternal in the heavens, as Paul says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 5 puts it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. While eternity rolls forward, the glory of heaven will never fade away. We who are the citizens of that and the residents of heaven will endure that glory forever. It is a perfect place. It is a permanent place. But it is also a precious place in verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What can be more precious than being with the Lord? We are told that when these bodies leave, we go immediately into the presence of the Lord. And as soon as death causes this clay tabernacle to fold up and fall away, the redeemed soul finds itself in the presence of the one who died to save that soul. This truth alone should make heaven surely worth it all. And again, I don't apologize for quoting some of these songs, but there's so many that I just want to share this one. Often I'm hindered on my way, burdened so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache here befall, but the dear Lord so sweetly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling and pain I will endure, till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure heaven will surely be worth it all. We can speak of golden streets, jasper walls, angelic hosts, gates of pearl, foundation of precious stone, streets lined with gold, as I've said, but the presence of Jesus Christ is what make heaven heavenly. It will be him and his glory that will light the city, and of course we know that is in Revelation 21, verse 23. It was Christ's death that made this all possible. His people will see him in that heavenly city on high. He will forever dwell, or we will forever dwell in his presence. And that's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I like this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, we will see the faces of the ones who died before us, but we will see the face of the one who died for us, the one who delivered us from our sins, the one who delivered us from our sentence of death. Revelation 5:6 says, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into the earth. Revelation 22:4 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him with the darkened veil between, but a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in his presence when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Years ago, men used to sail around and within the great Mediterranean Sea. It was called the Mediterranean because the word literally means the middle of the earth. Every now and then, some mariner would go out through the Straits of Gibraltar, and they would venture out a little way into the open sea, the Atlantic. Then they would come back through the Straits of Gibraltar and back into the Mediterranean. That great rock of Gibraltar, rising up there up out of the sea, had some caves in which these mariners would go up and rest and stay for a while. And they chiseled on the rocks of Gibraltar these words in Latin, no or ne plus ultra, which means there is nothing beyond. As far as they knew, they were stepping off. That was a stepping off place that was the end of the world. Their world ended with the rock of Gibraltar. And then one day, a man by the name of Christopher Columbus set sail. Columbus sailed west, came to a brand new world, discovering the Americas. And when he returned, he told the people what he had seen. As a result, some mariners went back up to the top of the rock of Gibraltar, and they chiseled off the N-E, the knee, and simply left the words, plus ultra. The inscription, which before had read no more beyond, now simply read, more beyond. In the same way, for everyone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to the end of life's journey, there is more beyond, more than you would ever dream, more than you could ever imagine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and I'm almost finished. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I want to close with my Oma's favorite song. This was her favorite song, and it was sung at her funeral in Holland. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago, just like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Are you ready to go? Am I ready to go? We must occupy until he comes, because there are many around who still need to know the Savior. And until that time, God's grace and God's love will be sufficient. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge your goodness to us again. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have come to know that so great salvation. And Lord, once again, we bring before you those living around us, family, friends, neighbors, nations who still need to come to faith in Christ, people of all nations, tongue, and tribes. And so, Father, we pray that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, that each soul coming into the kingdom brings much rejoicing in heaven. And so, Father, we continue to pray that as we live here, that we would honor, glorify, magnify, and lift up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his name we pray. Amen.